Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we're right back to the second hour of Blood River Radio, people, where we take no prisoners. We got our hitman right here, Lee Cochran, in the office. My beard's not quite as long as his, but it's gonna have to do. People, this hour right here, we have a great guest. Me and her, we've been talking about some stuff. It ain't ZZ Top. We got Miss Tamara Goodwin on. We're gonna bring her on in just a minute. But Miss Tamara Goodwin, in case you people have forgotten. In case you've been living under a trailer or something like I've done in my past, or under a bridge. She is the mother of Jacob Goodwin, who's serving time in the Virginia State Penitentiary System because he practices self-defense. He rescued a lady by the name of Nellie. We've had her on a couple of times on this show. He rescued another fellow by the name of Cruz. An old man by the name of Cruz, I don't remember his first name, was getting his head beat in with a mag light by a militant black. And Jacob Goodwin was one of the heroes that came there and rescued those people, amongst other things. And he survived the Battle of Charlottesville. He's just a wonderful citizen. Anyway, his name is Jacob Goodwin, and we've had his mother on right now. You probably know her. She's been on a few times. But she's going to come on and give us some prison updates. And me and Tam are going to talk about – we're going to kind of give a rough sketch of some of the events that me and Tam have been kind of planning along with Dr. Hill with the League of the South. Go ahead, Ms. Tamara. How are you doing tonight, Tamara?
Hey, everybody. I'm kind of echoing here. I'm proud to say kind of that Jacob's being strong as always. Sometimes they say that he gets his strength from his parents, but I don't know because at times I just don't know where the strength comes from. But my son is fighting for all of you guys out there that can hear my voice and even the people that have to read about it. There's a lot of political prisoners. It's sad to say that. And we can't give up this fight that is going on. You know, people, I'm guilty, set every day and did my business, and my rights were taken away left and right without me even knowing about it. And when I did, I kind of hid my head in the rock because I didn't know what else to do. And I've told Jacob several times, Mama, just what do you want me to do? I can't do anything. Well, now he's put me in a position where I'm having to do something, and I'm proud about it. I'm very proud that my son is fighting for you all. And let me just start. Jacob is doing good. It's because of you people out there that I get to talk to him, you know, at least maybe twice a week when he's able to call. Let me tell you what, prison is just a moneymaker. That's all it is. It ain't to make our guys any better or even anybody that's in prison to make them any better. They don't have anything set up. All they do all day is walk around and most probably plot to how to get in trouble, lots of them. My Jacob told me that he's fighting. He said, Mom, I'm fighting in here, just like I fought out there to get our guys to realize, you know, drugs and gang banging and you know, just crime is just not the way of life to do. And I told him, he said, Mama, they may cut my tongue out, but I still got my hands. And I can't tell you how proud I was when he said that. I'm very, very proud. But we need your help. We need your help on so many levels to write our president, write our congressman, make calls. Make donations to this radio show, make donations to my son. I know everybody seems like every time I even watch a TV, they want $20 here, $20 there. And believe me, I hate that we have to ask, but if we are to survive and fight for you guys, it ain't free. Nothing in this world is free. So with us saying that, Ramos is in the same prison Jacob is, that is Greensville. And they're at Jared, I guess I'm pronouncing that right, Jared, Virginia. And me and Scott have not seen him yet. I'm excited. I'm trying to go get ready to go see him, but that's going to be a 20-hour drive for us. And so, but with that being said, Preston is still at Coffeewood. As to my understanding, they're not moving him as of now anyway. I was told they're not going to move him. But they said they wasn't going to move him before, and, you know, the next morning he woke up and he was moved. Daniel Borden, you know, was on the show, and great. I mean, he is going for something that I love the words he used. He said, you know, this could be you. And it could be, because I never thought it would be me. I never thought me and my children would ever have to look at the criminal system. And we are fighting it, and it's in my face. I can't turn my back because my son is in there. And I'm not, me and my husband are not going to give up. We're going to keep fighting, and I want people to know it. We can still use a lawyer. We definitely need lawyers that will stand up and fight because, no, everybody's afraid. Everybody's running with their tails tucked between their legs, you know, and that's not going to get us where we need to go. But with that said, Eddie and I are working on some things together, hoping you guys will just jump in and be excited about. Eddie, do you want to start that off?
Well, I'm glad you said that, Ms. Tamara. And before I go to that, and by the way, in a few minutes, we're going to go to one of our great co-hosts. His name is Jacob. I love to call him Cacklehoffer. It's his middle name because I love that. But we're just calling him Mr. Jacob Tyler. We're going to go to him in a few minutes. I want you to talk to him.
Okay.
Sure. He knows about your son. But anyway, just an aside, I see where the governor of Virginia, that upstanding state with those angelic politicians up there, the governor of Virginia has been skewed. He's been, gigged with a frog gig for, I think, being dressed up with a black face back when he was in medical school. And lo and behold, the same thing has happened for the lieutenant governor. And get this, and the black woman police chief has been nailed for sexual harassment as long as, and there's another black official there, I don't know for what he does, some kind of a bean counter. But everybody there in a position of authority has been singled out lately and being harassed for either painting their faces black, God forbid, or maybe they want to be black. You know, they have a shot now you can take and you can turn your whole body black. You know, these white cooks, they're already black on the inside. Maybe they can go black on the outside. They want to be black so bad. But, I thought that was really hilarious. I hope they get rid of them. I really do. I hope they throw them in that same prison with your people. And with that said, that was an aside. Yes, me and Tamara, we were talking about people. Here's what we got planned, and we desperately need your money. There's a spot, it's 37 miles from Memphis. I don't know how close it is to Tamara and her people. It's Forest City. There's a really nice park over there. I cannot remember the name of it. But we're talking, my birthday is April the 6th.
Yahoo.
April the 6th. You know, we've always been talking about going on the road. My bank account, I'm not kidding you. You can see it. It was 0.0. The reason it wasn't in the red is because I had a check that came in, was cashed unexpectedly. I read about 5 weeks ago. And the bank took the money out of my little savings account. So now I have $74 in my savings account. But we're coming up with a little money soon. I'm making a little trip soon, trying to get a little bit of money. But me and Tamara want to put together a benefit in this state park. It's in Forest City, Arkansas, people. I want you to be getting ready for it. It's 37 miles from Memphis. It's right off of Interstate 40, a major interstate. It's close enough to Memphis. You can stay in hotels in Memphis. We have 1,000 hotels in Memphis. There's 5 hotels in Forest City, Arkansas, within just a few minutes, within 10 minutes of the park. They have 10 cabins over there, nice cabins. They have single bedrooms, single beds, double beds, cabins over there. But that's one of the places we're going to look into. Okay, I talked to Pastor Tom Robb today. Now, the end of April, the last people, I hear the music come back. We're going to tell you about the other events that me and Tamara are planning and one that me and Dr. Hill are planning. Of course, Tamara's
welcome
to that one, too. We'll be right back, people. Hang on.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Well, people, all you people tuning into the show tonight, you've made my day. I don't have no idea how many tuned in out there, but the people that tune in, I consider the cream of the crop. You're the hard right, the hardcore of the hard right. We were talking with Miss Tamara Goodwin a minute. I'm going to finish up our schedule events a minute, for a few minutes, and then we're going to go to Mr. Kackelhofer. But anyway, yes, the last weekend of, okay, we talked about Forest City. We're trying to go April the 6th, my birthday, which I believe is on a Saturday. Yes, a Saturday, people. I was born on Easter Sunday, 1947. That's why I'm so holy, you know. But anyway, Friday, April, we're going to try to go April the 6th to Forest City, Arkansas. We're going to set that up as soon as we can on our next show. People will let you know what we're going to try to do. And we're going to need a little bit of money. I'm broke. I'll tell you flat out. I'm not bad mouthing, but we're going to come up with money some kind of way. With or without you, we're going to do it. But if you people, I'm going to tell you what, if you want to just stop sitting on your butt, if you want to be a part of the only white civil defense force here in the United States, I mean, you can see our little penny ante studio here, you would laugh. But we're trying to do great things here. We're out there, we're going to get in the street, like we said. And Lee was talking about, what about the Antifa? Well, what the hell about the Antifa? Let them bring on. You know what? We're not going to start any fight, but I can double damn guarantee you, if they start any fight with us, it's going to be the sorriest day of their damn life. I guarantee double damn to you. They can send the National Guard if they want to, because they're going to need every one of them. You know, I guarantee you, because we're not going to take any crap off those people. We're not going to start any fights, but we're not taking any crap off of these communist terrorists. Now, going back, after leaving that, getting kind of worked up here, the last weekend of April, fast forward to April the 6th, Forest City, the weekend is the 26th, 27th, and the 8th. We're going to be in Harrison, Arkansas. I talked to Pastor Thomas Robb today, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. They're having their big conference over there. I've been invited to bring Blood River over there. We're going to broadcast over there. And we haven't got all the details there, but me and Lee are going to go over there. Hopefully Matt can come. Maybe Jacob can come. And we're going to try to mix in a little fundraiser for our guys in prison, Okay, now after April, hopefully June the 7th, we're going to be in Chapel Hill. Okay, go ahead, Tamara.
you guys on April the 26th, the 27th, the 28th at Tom Robb's. If y'all are able to make it, I have been up there. I'm telling you, you will be enlightened so much just by the people there alone. But if you want to come up, I plan on being there. Come meet me. Come meet all of us guys and come join us. Help us go to the street. Help us take this to the street. So I'm just telling you, I've been to Tom Robb's church and I've been up there to their one of their family conferences and y'all will love it. I'm just telling you, because so they have cabins there. They have, you know, the motels are pretty cheap in there in Harrison. Harrison's not far. So y'all come. But okay, Eddie, go ahead and go on to the next one. That would be June.
You know, if our people are so worried about being pampered, if they're worried about hotels and motels and three hots and a cot, you know, think about our guys that are in prison. Think about our dead, my dead brothers who are still lying over there in Vietnam. Think about the guys who were at the Battle of Frozen Chosen in Korea where it was 30 below zero and they were up there in summer uniforms. Think about that crap. If you're so soft and you're worried about where your next meal is going to go, my God, we can all go 24 hours without eating if we have to. That aside, like Ms. Tamara said, there's places to stay up there. Okay, we're going to get these details worked out. I just want you people to know what we're working on. And that's why we need some of your money, some of your precious money. If you're not too afraid to turn loose some of it, you can send us some or you can help us out. Okay, now going after we leave there, that's going to be the last weekend of April. And then next is going to be, I wish Matt was here. He knows all about this. Matt's putting it together. May 7th, we're going to be in Chapel Hill. I don't know what day that's going to be. Excuse me. You're right, Tamara. June 7th, Chapel Hill. And that's going to be strictly a fundraiser for Blood River, so we can hopefully get enough money to pay our webmaster and to pay Liberty News because they can't do it for free. Okay, and then the biggie, I'm not going to say one's bigger than the other one, but hopefully, Lord, in August, the second anniversary of the Battle of Charlottesville, August 9th and 10th, I believe it is, we're going to go, we're supposed to be, okay, on the 10th, we're going to be in Henry Horton, Tennessee, up there for the big blowout, and the League of the South is supporting us big time up there. And people, we're doing this, we're trying to put our money where our mouth is. We're trying to do something to get our people out.
Now,
we're trying to raise.
That one is, that's my main goal, guys. I want everybody to hear my voice. Please, you have time to save your pennies. You have time to come. You have time to plan. It's not a rally. It's a benefit. We're not standing
that's
on
right.
any kind of issue. I just want you to come out and meet me. I want to meet you. I want you to have a good day, all of us together, as one holiness. And I would like for people to come here, hear about my son. Come see about my son. Come meet us all. You just have a great day. Bring your children. This is not a rally. This is a benefit. There is a difference. And I would love
you're right,
to see everybody.
Ms. Tamara, I'm going to double down. You know, I told you about what's going to happen. We're going to fight to the death if the Antifa attack us. But I'm going to tell you something else, too. People, you come. I want everybody to come. I'm going to tell you flat out. You're not going to come and you're not going to start any crap. You're not going to start any trouble. You're not going to bring your political signs. You're not going to bring your we're not going to talk about
exactly.
the First Amendment. We're not going to talk about the militia. We're not going to talk about Unite the Right, the Weak or Unite the Right. We're not going to talk about that crap. These rallies, so to speak, these beneficiaries are for one purpose and one purpose only. They're for the guys in prison. That's it. That's who we're trying to get, we're trying to help. They're sitting in prison, rotting in prison. They've been soft. This is what's called soft genocide. That's what we're going to do. And God willing, it takes money. It takes a hell of a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
You know, Ms. Tamara, I'm getting ready.
Washington.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, I'm getting ready to sign off. I'm going to turn this thing over to Jacob Cacklehofer, Tyler, and because I've said my piece, and that's what we're working on. And like I said, it all depends on money. We're me and Lee are struggling. Man, we're struggling, and Matt. Okay, Jacob, how are you doing tonight, fella? Right before the break, introduce yourself to Miss Tamara.
I'm doing great, Eddie. Thanks for having me on, and I'm thrilled to be on again. And Tamara, it's great to be on the air with you. We met really briefly right after the Shelbyville event where you and your husband addressed some of the attendees of that rally about Jacob. At the little after party event, we'd gathered in a pavilion out there at one of the nearby state parks. And so we met really briefly then. I don't expect you'd remember me just from that, but that was the first time I'd seen the two of y'all, and I'd had some brief interaction with your son at Charlottesville, because I was there covering the story for American Free Press.
That means the world to me. Well, you go ahead. You got questions for me, baby, or what?
But I was very inspired by you and your husband, you know, rattling the saber, as it were, and taking that, you know, very heartbreaking development, you know, with Jacob, and using that as an opportunity to encourage and shine a little light and make a little noise. And it was a tremendous example, and it meant a lot to me to see that, and I had nothing but
wonderful
instant respect for the two of y'all. So I do hope
Thank
that
you.
We'll have the opportunity to get to know each other a little better over the years, and Lord willing, maybe Jacob someday as well. And my interaction with him was very brief at Charlottesville, but he was a very stand-up guy.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's great to be on air with you. You know, this you mentioned earlier how prior to Jacob's unjust imprisonment, you almost
yes.
seem to be alluding to the fact that you weren't as up to speed on what's going on today, or were you, and this was like a wake-up call for it? I think I'm certainly
yes.
curious, and perhaps some of our audience members would be as well. Was this incident involving Jacob? Oh, I think looks like we're about to go to break. We'll
yes.
We'll be right back, yo. I'm so glad Jacob could come on tonight. He works a very grueling shift, and I don't know what I'd do without him. We'll be right back, people.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Seattle receives a year's worth of snow in one day. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chouinard says it's the second most snow recorded in the area in a day for the past 20 years, and more is still to come.
We had quite a bit of snow over Seattle last night into this morning. Strong area of low pressure just offshore, which brought in quite a bit of cold air, lowered the snow levels pretty much down to sea level over there. In and around Seattle, 6 to 8 inches of snow has fallen.
The governor declared a state of emergency even before the snow arrived. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren joined several other Democrats with high hopes of taking over the White House in 2020.
We can't afford just to tinker around the edges, a tax credit here, a regulation there. Our fight is for big structural change.
Warren has spent the past decade in the national spotlight, first emerging as a consumer activist. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare, and they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is no longer the chair of the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association. That group announced late on Friday night that Fairfax was out as chair and that his role would be filled by Bethany Hall Long of Delaware and Cyrus Habib of Washington. They did not say whether Fairfax stepped down on his own accord or if he was forced out. Fairfax was chair starting in August of 2018. Now that a second woman has come forward to accuse Fairfax of sexual assault, Democratic delegate Patrick Hope says Fairfax must resign from office.
Father of three young girls cannot stand by silently while the lieutenant governor is facing multiple credible allegations of sexual assault.
Democrats in Virginia's state house and Senate also are calling for the lieutenant governor to resign. Another government shutdown is less than a week away, and Republicans and Democrats are still trading proposals. Earlier this week, it was at the staff level, then at the subcommittee chair level, and now it's at the highest level. This is USA Radio News.
The Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're getting ready to go right back to our two wonderful guests and our great co-host. I just want to chime in one second here. I hope you're not turned off by my passion that when I talk about, you know, you're sitting on your butt and not sending any funds and things like that. It's just, listen, I'm telling you flat out the truth. I'm not trying to be, you know, theatrical. I wake up all the time thinking about these kids in prison, thinking about the hell of a shape that this country is in. I mean, we have the lieutenant governor. You probably heard the commercial, and I'll hearken to it earlier. We have the governor, the lieutenant governor, all these leaders, so-called leaders in Virginia, they're up for sexual harassment, you know, and just hypocritical action like blacking their faces. And they're the ones that need to be in the prison. The real criminals are in Washington, D.C. and the state governments. The world's turned upside down. But anyway, I am making excuses. I do get carried away sometimes, and I do get kind of volatile, and I might get kind of abrasive. But I'm going back to Tamara now.
I agree with what you're saying, because I never dreamed that I would have to worry about my kid going to school if I had a smaller kid and them getting killed, or really having to worry about abortion at 9 months. I mean, what is this world coming to? And you know what? I got thrown in this, you know, I have to be of this world, but I don't have to live in it, if that means anything. You know, I'm guilty of so much just sitting by before all this happened with my son, just going to day-to-day life and just saying, you know, and I've heard Jacob was wanting to change the world since he was in grade school. I've gotten where he wrote poems and stuff and pictures of him saying, Mama, we can't just sit back and let the world go. My world, it's called his world because it is his generation, go to pot and go in the trash. And I said, honey, what do you want Mama to do? He said, I don't know, but I got to change it somehow. But did I ever think he'd be in prison for it? No, I never dreamed I'd be like this. Never, ever. But I'm in a fight and I'm not giving up. And I'm just a woman. I'm just a mother. If I can do it, guys, you guys can help me do it. You guys can take back our world and our life, you know. I don't care if the black guy calls me honky. I don't care if they call me white. I don't care if they call me names. I'll sit back and just let them do it and just look at them pathetically. That's all you got to do in your life is attack me? Well, then go for it. You know, go for it. Because I don't really give a hoot. I got more things to worry about than what you call me honky or cracker or whatever, you know.
And Lee wants to chime in now, Ms. Tamara, for a quick like. Lee's got a question.
Just one thing, Ms. Tamara.
Sure.
I want to challenge all these guys to get their pantyhose off and get their high heels off and start doing some stuff, you know?
Yes.
That's right. No. You know what? That's right. I got one quick paraphrase, and we'll go back to Jacob because he's been hanging on. I'll paraphrase. I can't quote it. It goes something like this. In the beginning, a patriot is made fun of. He's ignored and laughed at. Later on, when he starts making headway, he's lied about and feared. He's feared. People fear him. But when he finally succeeds, everybody and his mama is on board with him. Talks about what a hero is. He is, because at that time they can come on. They can get on the bad wagon and join the fight with no danger to themselves without having to risk any payment whatsoever. I think Samuel Clemens said that. Mark Twain. Now I'm going to go back to Jacob. Jacob's been hanging on. Jacob, give us your intellectualism, fella, that you're famous for.
Yeah, that's a great quote you were citing by Mark Twain, and that's so spot on. It also reminds me of Solzhenitsyn talking about in the Gulag, in his book The Gulag Archipelago, about how he was recalling how at night people that lived in these apartment complexes and everything would hear the organs, which was what they called the thugs, you know, the jackbooted thugs, the policemen that were coming and rounding people up in the middle of the night. And they would hear these people on the stairs. They would hear them dragging people out and black bagging them. And they would, you know, even with something as dramatic as that happening, people would do what is in all of our natures to do, I think, which is, oh, well, it doesn't concern me. And what could I do anyways? What am I going to do? You know, get in a fight with the police. Well, that'll never work. And this and that and the other thing, all the ways we readily rationalize it. And while as understandable as that was, what was so incredible about Solzhenitsyn's account was him saying that famous quote from the book, that excerpt that I think a lot of us has read, have read.
We burned in the camp.
And how we burned in the camps, you know, thinking back on the, all those instances where the organs would come and drag people away. And he went on to talk about how they wished that they would have just, you know, gone out there and grabbed anything they could to defend themselves and set upon the organs and driven them off, you know, so that whatever the government was doing, no matter how big and powerful the government was, that was tyrannical enough to violate all their freedoms and betray its own people in such a despicable way. Those men, those policemen would think twice about going out there and being a party to that. And that's how change happens anyways. Change begins with individuals. You know, you don't eat a big steak by swallowing it whole. You eat it one bite at a time. And that's how any prop works. So, you know, it goes right along with what you're saying, Eddie. And Jacob's case here, you know, most mothers are thinking about what their son's doing in college and hoping he's not getting, you know, too drunk at a party or something. Tamara and her husband are writing letters to their son, who's a political prisoner, and having to go on radio shows to help raise awareness about his plight. You know, this guy who's been practically buried under the jail while the guy that assaulted the elderly man that he was helping was let off with a slap on the wrist with a wet noodle. So if this isn't proof positive for anyone who's on the fence, for anyone who, you know, recognizes what's going on, but just doesn't think that it's that important that they get involved, or doesn't think that there's something that they can do to help this. If Jacob Goodwin's story here isn't proof positive that we're not waiting for a war to come, the war is very much already here, then I don't know what is. You know, and Pat, this is the same thing that the founding fathers dealt with in the founding era of America, and Patrick Henry's fabled "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. He rather eloquently admonished his countrymen, who were apparently pretty unconvinced themselves of the need to break away from Great Britain. You know, when you read the content of his speech, by asking them how long they would, and this is quoting Patrick Henry directly here, lie supinely on their backs, hugging the delusive phantom of hope. And he went on to say, our chains are forged. Their clanking can be heard on the plains of Boston. He goes on to say that the war has already begun. And this was before the infamous shot heard round the world had been fired on the greens of Lexington. So, you know, Jacob Goodwin's case and the case of all of these political prisoners that our friend Rudy and a lot of other great folks are trying to raise awareness about right now, that we work hard to raise awareness about here on this show. This is proof positive that we are already in that stage that Patrick Henry was talking about in his day. Our chains are obviously already forged, very literally, in the case of Jacob Goodwin. And, you know, that's the reality we're dealing with right now, though. We pray to God for a miracle in that regard, and we don't know what the future holds and where there's breath, there's hope, and all of those things. I'm not speaking as though, you know, it's just a done deal where Jacob is concerned. But, you know, we're there. We're right there. And this is what leads up to the actual moment that we all, you know, hope to avoid, where literal shots are being fired. But it's definitely not going to be avoided so long as folks keep thinking that there's nothing they can do about it. And so long as they make the same mistake that Alexander Solzhenitsyn and his friends and his countrymen made when they would hear those, you know, people coming on the stairs and not do anything about it and rationalize it. You know, what we're seeing with Jacob Goodwin is the sound of the organ on the stairs, and there's still time for us to make a difference through peaceful means, through talking about these things that we're talking about on this show, through supporting Tamara and her husband and you know, educating yourself about what's going on. But at the rate we're going, you know, that may not be forever, folks.
Jacob, I have a quick question for you. Before I have the question, I'm going to make a statement. I would love to read that quote. That's one of my favorite quotes you have by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I would encourage people to go. It's easy to pull up. If you just type in "how we burned in the camps later" or "how we burned later in the camps," you can pull that up. It's one of the most beautiful, most Well, I wonder if you say it's beautiful. It will wake you up. Jacob, you know, I was talking about earlier, I'm going to see if you agree with me. If you want to disagree, it's quite all right. On the first hour, I said that I think that our political system that we currently have now, that we're living under, it no longer serves our people, our white people, our white Christian people specifically, especially, but any white person that doesn't serve us. I think it's too far gone. I don't believe there is a political solution left in this country to preserve our race, to preserve our way of life. I think we're too far outnumbered. And I cited, for one thing, that we have 100 militant women congressmen in office. We have this this Senator Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, who's damning us to hell. And as soon as we come back from this break, Jacob, I want you to answer that question. And after you answer that question, I want to go back to Tamara. We'll be right back, people, in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song and will you listen
to it? Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation, and he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal.
Well, the old chunk of coal is back, and to save time, I'm going to go back to Jacob to rephrase my question. He probably remembers it. You know, I've said in the first hour that I think that our political system is right now, is with the population of the country, with demographics of the country, I think it's, I don't think it's going to conserve us. Ask Jacob if he thinks that there is a political solution left, and I don't think so. I'm going to get Jacob's opinion on that, and then after Jacob answers my question, he's going to go back to Miss Tamara with any further comments he has for her. Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, to answer your question, Eddie, no. I mean, I don't think there's a solution, and yes, I agree with you. In this case, here again, this case is such a prime example of why. But I would hasten to add that no political solution would be worthwhile were it not predicated and, you know, propped up in every way imaginable by true revival. And it's not really going to happen until that revival happens either, because what we're talking about now, the kind of reform that we long for, the kind of reform that we need, the kind of reform that our people are crying out for right now, is the kind of reform that can only come when people are humbled and brought to their knees and cry out to the God of their fathers to have mercy on them, because that's what we're in right now. You know, we are in many ways, since we're no longer one nation under God, we are one nation under judgment. And people like Jacob are reaping the whirlwind. Our fathers have sinned and are no more, and we have borne their iniquity, as the scriptures say. And this is a case in point of that phenomenon with our political prisoners like Jacob here. So it's not going to happen, but that's not like we're never going to see it happen kind of statement. It's not a pessimistic thing to say. I'm saying that, I'm saying take heart, friends, because this is the sort of thing that for some reason always has to begin to happen before we actually start doing what God requires of us to heal our land in true 2 Chronicles 7:14 fashion. And when that happens, this is why there's hope for miraculous intervention and everything on behalf of somebody like Jacob, because we're closer and closer to that sort of thing happening with each additional steel ball that is chained to us. We're pushed closer and closer to that point of brokenness where we actually turn to God and where we actually see revival. And when that happens, who knows what fetters can be broken and to what extent we can be empowered to call the kings into account in ways that we can't even imagine and in ways that we haven't seen in centuries. So,
An excellent answer, Jacob. Before we go to react to Ms. Tamara, who will chime in, I would love to ask you another question. If you think, for instance, if we don't have time, I would like to ask you what the chances are of us going back to having a revival to bring this nation to. But we don't have time for that right now. We'll save that for another show. I'm going to make one comment, then I'm going to about what you said, and then I'm going to go to Ms. Tamara. To everything you said and distill it down, to 1 ounce, to kind of paraphrase Sam Dixon. Everybody knows Sam Dixon. He made a statement back in 2007 at a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting I've never forgotten. He said, he responded to a similar question that I just asked you. He said, no, things would not get better until things got a lot worse. He said, things have to get so bad that it's affecting everybody. And he said, then when there's nothing left to lose, people have nothing left to lose, then they'll be ready to respond. But the trouble is, he added, is once we're that far along, maybe too late. Now, back to you, Ms. Tamara. I'd like to get you to chime in now.
I agree with what you guys are saying, because in my book, it has gotten to the worst it can get. But I know a lot of you guys don't believe in God, and that's okay. But if you believe the way I believe and you read the Bible, it said all this was coming true. This is why we really need to pay attention, because everything that was in those few pages there from cover to cover has happened and is happening, just as said so. With that being said, please, guys, I don't care what your God is to you, but to me, please pray for me and my family. We need all the strength we can get, and I need you guys behind us as much as possible, and it does help knowing you there. I appreciate you. Please go to Year of Jubilee. It's 1E. And go / yearjubilee.com/Jacob or Daniel Borden. Y'all can see everything, see our interviews and when they're calling in and things. Jacob hasn't been on here because he has a hard time getting to the phone. That's his problem. We don't get to hear from him every day like we used to. So we're on pins and needles every day. When that phone rings, we're jumping on it. We're running for it. We have our homes hooked to us. And I want y'all to know that I'm glad to a point that my son is your hope. I'm glad that we have hope, even if it is my son. And I want him to know he's not in there in vain, too. So you guys can also go to jpay.com and download the app, and y'all can send him emails. You can send him pictures. You can send him music, funds for music. You can send him funds for his commissary. It is tough in there. He ain't on vacation. I can tell you that. And, you know, they don't have any schooling. I'm trying to get him college in there, whatever we can do to get him college in there so he can take some kind of classes. Because that prison is like thousands of acres, so you think that they would have some kind of program set up for at least the one-time offenders that has going to have to be in there 8 years or whatever, and they have something to better them for our society when they get out. It ain't. It's not like that at all, and I don't understand it, but that is just something we're having to deal with on our own. And so I can use anybody that has any help, and I definitely need a lawyer to help me sue Virginia. So if anybody has any ideas, sir.
Oh, I'll finish what you were saying first. I'm sorry.
That's it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. By the way, I'd like to just thank you again, Jacob. I think that was a fantastic answer you gave to my question a minute ago. You went in depth. You did a wonderful job. Now, what was going to say? Back to you now, Jacob. Say what you were going to say.
Thank you. While you were talking about Jay Pay, Tamara, I brought that up on my computer here, and the first page that comes up on the website is find your inmate, select the state, and the inmate ID. So for anyone who did want to follow up on what you were talking about with that website, do you have on hand the up-to-date info on which state and the inmate ID number?
It's in Virginia. Yeah, and if you go to Year of Jubilee, his inmate number is there, his address is there, how to get on JPay's there, everything, anything about Jacob is just about there. Even the interview with DeAndre is on there. So, and a letter for you guys is on there from Jacob, which he'll write again soon. But, if anybody needs to contact me, y'all feel free to contact me. Write him letters, you know. Oh, and the letters, believe it or not, they're sending his mail back. It can't be over an ounce. So that's two pages front and back in the envelope. It can't be. I got 1.5 ounce or 2 ounce and they sent it back to me. It costs them more to send the letter back to me than just to give it to him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That is so sorry. That is so pitiful. You know what? That's just straight out now satanic harassment. Back to you, Jacob.
Well, you know, on the note, too, you mentioned that Solzhenitsyn quote before the break, Eddie. I brought that up here as well. Would you like me to read that?
Yep, I was going to read it, but I didn't know if we have time. If you think you can get through it, I'd love it. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time. Rock and roll, Jacob. Read it. We need it.
Well, I don't want to steal your thunder. If you got it on hand,
I want you to do it. I want you to do it. You do it. I don't care who reads it. They need it. That's one of my favorite quotes. You go for it, fella. Go for it. Read it. Get it out there, son.
All right. Well, and it's very, you know, Tamara's, you know, talking about repeating mistakes and you know, looking to the past and everything. So this is very appropriate because, you know, Solzhenitsyn lived through this already in the 50s and the reign of Stalin. So this is that famous quote we're talking about. Solzhenitsyn says, "And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when we went out or when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family, or if during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door, at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterwards." Well, we have the...
Hear, hear. That's so straight on. And you know what? We're there now, Jacob. We're getting ready to run out of time, but I'm just going to say the number one ingredient, I don't care how smart you are, how rich you are, If you don't have courage, if you're not willing to stand up and fight like a lion for your rights, you don't deserve them. And that's why we started Blood River Radio. Thank you so much, Jacob. Thank you so much, Ms. Tamara. We'll be getting back to y'all people as soon as we can. God bless y'all people. People, please write in and let us know what kind of job we're doing. Let us know if you think we're meritorious. Yeah. And God bless you. Send us letters. Send us emails. Go to our website. Send us some money if you can. We've got big things planned, but we cannot do it without a minimum of your donations. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. From behalf of me and our staff, my guests, have a good night. God bless you.
Thank you all.